Hi, this is Rich Scheibner, and you're listening to my audio reflection from my chapter on songwriting and emotions. I'm recording this from my home, and the music you hear is from my band. I demonstrate teaching and sampling songwriting practices and digital rhetoric courses, from introductory to advanced level sections. My assignment covers three practices of songwriting: recording, arranging, and thick listening, or a technique that embraces signal and noise. The assignment is based on a first-year composition course in which students had written research arguments on digital writing and devices. After editing their arguments down to 500 words, they produced audio essays, they recorded vocal tracks, arranged Creative Commons sounds and musical samples, and made sense of ambient noises that found their way into their recordings. Episodes from podcasts such as Lore and Snap Judgment were useful examples of telling stories, generating atmospheres, and integrating music. Along with my interest in podcasts, my assignment is based on Damon Krukowski's theories in his 2017 book, The New Analog. My assignment is also based on my 20 years as a working musician. I find that songwriting helps me attune to and make sense of pain and emotions, and in some cases to represent the sensations and emotions of others. That's not exactly a new insight among musicians, given that a range of genres and visceral songs reflect felt memories and affective encounters. I feel the affectivity of songwriting is thickened when musicians, as the saying goes, play to the space or embrace the environmental surround of a recording. The environmental surround is noise. It might be a room's natural reverb, its hums and creaks, its occupants who aren't involved in the recording session. Thomas Rooker brought up such an idea in his book Ambient Rhetoric, The Attunements of Rhetorical Being. With signal and noise, with ambience, feeling is thickened in varying ways. Signal, noise, and feeling are three ideas I want students thinking about as they record, arrange, and listen to their audio essays. You can hear students' audio essays in another section of this chapter. For the rest of this reflection, I'd like to make three points about the assignment, looking back on a recent version of the assignment and toward future possibilities. Let's start with point one, songwriting. Here's the strange part of the assignment. It doesn't require students to write songs. You heard that right. It doesn't require students to write songs. So is it a songwriting assignment? Yes, because the assignment embraces songwriting practices. As I mentioned earlier, those practices are recording vocal tracks, arranging sounds and music, and doing some thick listening. Now, those techniques are also found in podcasting. However, as the title of this chapter suggests, I'm trying to cultivate songwriting, whether in theory or practice. Damon Krukowski's idea struck me as a good introductory framework for students in a first-year composition course themed on digital writing and rhetoric. In other words, I thought a songwriter's theories of signal, noise, and feeling would be a useful framework for students who have little experience producing audio essays, let alone songs. After reading about recording techniques and sampling songwriting practices for an audio essay, they seem to be in a better position to think about ways in which music and noise amplify the emotional appeals of a written or spoken text. And this brings me to point two, responding to the students. In this chapter, you will notice that I don't have a rubric. Instead, I have included a response sheet based on signal, noise, and feeling. From experience, I can say with certainty that musicians and bandmates rarely grade each other. However, they talk through ideas, critique each other, encourage each other, and collaborate often in recording sessions. As a means to reflecting songwriting approaches, then, I opted to complete responses rather than complete a rubric. If students didn't complete in-class activities, produce drafts, and present a version of their audio essays to the class during finals week, their grade suffered. As I explained to students, missing out on process work is like missing a recording session, a time to dwell on and try out ideas. You'll have to take my word for it that nearly all students in my recent course completed the facets of the assignment, producing interesting audio essays. I think the sample audio essays you'll hear reflect that. As a rhetoric and composition teacher, you might wish to integrate a rubric into my sample response sheet, especially if your institution requires it. You might translate the term signal to a term like clarity, you might change noise to background sounds, and you might change feeling to emotional appeals. And last but not least, point three, more songwriting. I want to come back to my first point in this audio reflection. Beyond first-year courses, more advanced digital composition courses might lend themselves to more intense songwriting practices, including writing songs. In an upcoming semester, I'm teaching a more craft-oriented course on producing digital texts. One idea is to have students work with a prefabricated vocal track, perhaps one from a podcast producer willing to submit it. Students might have more time to focus on writing musical passages and ambient sounds designed to surround a vocal track. We might focus more on the extent to which GarageBand and other programs help producers compose songs with samples and the like. There might be interesting collaborations between students whose musical literacies and resources vary. Even failed experiments with songwriting might happen. Another idea is to reverse engineer a song from its distribution and back to the room and resources on which it was recorded. We might need something simple and approachable. I keep thinking about B.O.B.'s auto-tune spoof on YouTube. In the song, he goes meta by using the auto-tune technique of musical recording programs as a basis for satirizing the technique. We see the musician's recording space, his vocal mics, and the auto-tune technique in question. The YouTube page for which the song was created has the song lyrics. Asking students to recompose the auto-tune song might surround discussions of programs and platforms that have helped aspiring songwriters compose and distribute content to public audiences. Public composition and distribution are indeed loud themes in the field of rhetoric and composition. Songwriting practices play out those themes. So, in closing, I hope songwriting gives way to exciting projects by students. I'm sounding out what I hope is a significant contribution to digital rhetoric scholarship because it responds to the field's melodic interest and explores pedagogical possibilities that draw on songwriting theory and praxis. It might serve well as an introduction to more robust assignments about devices and materials, music and its genres, and materials and tones that cultivate emotions.